little candles keep showing up. And it's come to a time that you cannot even put candles anymore. You just put one up there and pretend that that means many. So counting years, happy birthday. Some people do not like to celebrate birthdays for some different reasons. I found people that are even as a group, a religious group, they do not celebrate birthdays. And I did attend a birthday this week. And we are very blessed to be with a young girl that had just became, add one extra year to her life. And she's here. And I didn't ask her permission to talk about it. So let's pretend that you do not know who that person is, okay? And so birthdays. This person asked me, do your church celebrate birthdays? Is that okay? I said, yes. And just the opposite, I find it very strange who does not celebrate birthdays. Because when you celebrate birthday, if you celebrate only because you want some gifts, if you have a selfish reason to do it, then I think you maybe shouldn't celebrate. But if you celebrate as an act of gratitude, is to say, Lord, how many people wish to be here where I am? And they did not make it. But by your grace, here I am. And I want to express my gratitude for all the years that you have given to me. It is a privilege, a very unique privilege, to have in your hands the gift of life. Amen. Don't take for granted. You have no idea. So count every birthday. Count it. And use your birthday to be a blessing to others, not being a selfish. When I was growing up, I didn't have the privilege that some of you do have, to have people around that would say, happy birthday. Most of the time, I didn't even realize that it was birthday. Because when you get used to not to be used to, it becomes a routine. And it was until late in life that I married somebody who is always telling me happy birthday. And we have a family. So now it's different. But there was a time when we did not have that. And many people around the world, that many people that go by their birthday, they are so busy, so occupied, so distracted with all the things that they don't even have a time to celebrate. But it's important for you to celebrate as an act of gratitude for the life that you have. So happy birthday to all of you. By the way, this is already half of the year has gone, right?
Yes.
Are you counting the time? Now, happy anniversary. Anybody here celebrate anniversary? We know that just few weeks ago. Yes, we are celebrating our 42nd anniversary in just a few more days. So happy anniversary. And also, how many of you celebrate your baptism date? I wish everyone here would have raised their hand. You see, when you go back here, this birthday may become meaningless after a while. But this one here is the one who really will count towards eternity. Why don't you try to search? If you forgot, try to search when you were baptized. And you start making a point to celebrate. And you want a beautiful way to witness? Have a party and invite somebody to celebrate with you. This is the day that I gave my life to Christ. This is the day when my eternity is started. Don't you think it's worth celebrating?
Definitely.
Sometimes we celebrate just the fact when we came to this world, but we don't celebrate the most important moment in our lives. For me, it was a day that I start counting like a life, it really exists. That's the day when I was baptized. That's when time really became meaningful to me. Counting years, counting days. When a child, before the child is born, the mother, the respecting, always keep counting the weeks, right? That's the first week, the second week, the third week. And then it goes counting all the weeks until, voila, here he is or she is. And then you start counting every month. Oh, first month, second month, and then the first birthday. And then becomes every year. Counting days, counting years. Do you realize that the only time in our lives when we like to get old, we don't care about being old, is when we are kids? That's the only time we are not very, very preoccupied about aging. Also, it is important for us to notice that if you are less than 10 years old, you are so excited about aging that you think even in fractions. Look what happens. This little boy, when he was asked, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 4 and a half. At this stage, you count the halves. In some stage, we want to forget the halves. We just say, you are 4 and a half and going on 5. That is all, you know, that's the issue. That's the key. But then you become a teenager. You get into your teens. Now they can hold you back. And look what happened. You jump to the next numbers or even to a few ahead. You take liberty with the facts. And you do this. How old do you think this group is? An idea?
16.
They look like 16? How old are you? I'm going to be 16, she said. But she actually only 13. They are all four of them, they are just 13 years old. They are big, but they are 13. But they would like to... How are we going to be 16? They are so anxious. And then comes the time, and then the greatest day of your life comes, at least some people think. And this is the time when they become 21. I am finally an adult. And then very soon, they start receiving bills. And they wish they could go back. They realize that freedom, it is very expensive. Even the words sound like a ceremony. I am 21, now I'm free, now I can do whatever I want. That's what they think. But then you turn 30. Notice the terminology, turn. Yes, when you turn 30, whoop. Turn, what happens there? He turned. What is wrong? What has changed? Why they use the word terminology makes you sound like you're bad milk, doesn't it? He turned 30. Wow. And then you had to throw him out. Yeah, some people are 30 and they still are hanging around their parents. It's time to let them go because they turned 30. And some mom probably here says, I hope that doesn't become my case. You become 21, you turn 30, then you push 40, whoa, and then put on the brakes. It is slipping away. Before you know it, you reach 50. How fast. Some young people here, you have no idea. One day you're going to remember this, you're going to say, how fast it went by. But wait, you make it to 60. I remember when I got to 60, I said, whoa, I didn't expect to be here. You didn't think you would. Then like this. So you become 21, you turn 30, You push 40, you reach 50, and you make it to 60. You're going so fast. You build up so much speed that you hit 70. Remember, there is a speed limit in some places. After that, it is a day-by-day thing. You have to go slow after that because that's the way life is. And then you hit today. And today goes by so fast also. And then when you arrive into your 80s, every day becomes a complete circle. You turn at 4:30. You hit lunch. You reach bedtime. And it doesn't end there. In the 90s, you start going backwards. I was just 92. That's how we start to ask. Here this man asked this lady. Then a strange thing happens. He asked her, if you make it, before we do that, if you make it over 100, you can count like a little kid again. This is what he asked. How old are you, Grandma? She said, I am 100 and a half. See, life goes backwards now. I hope everyone here will reach 100 if Jesus Christ doesn't come then. May you all make into a healthy 100 and a half. Now, let's go to the Bible. How do you enjoy our days? Throw out no essential numbers. Many times we pay attention to some numbers that we should just forget them. And that is age and height. As you grow older, you shrink. So you cannot control either one of them. So don't worry about them at all. I know that some people worry so much, they start adding high heels. But age tells you that is too much. So, but keep the 10. It's very good for your health. What is 10? The commandments, of course. So the best remedy for aging is keep the 10. Keep also your cheerful friends. Do you have some? They are good for your health. But be careful with grouchy ones. They can dry your bones. Sometimes people, against their doctor advice, let people that can make your life miserable stay around for too long. So please be careful with those. Keep learning. This is one thing that is how do you make your time valuable. Keep learning. Keep yourself informed. It is good. Don't ever stop getting more information. Information is a powerful thing because when you have information, then you have choices. Then you can apply wisdom. Can you select your information and use it for the benefit of you and those around you? Exercise your brain. Sometimes people are only, I have to lift up some weight because I want my work on my muscles. But the muscles here are the most important muscles. Don't let it go. Do you all remember Sister Gladys? Do you remember her? Anybody?
Yes.
Until the day that she closed her eyes to rest, her mind was as sharp as it could be. It was beautiful to go to see her, to talk to her. It was uplifting to see how she took the time to read and to keep herself informed. It is very important. Exercise your brain with good things. By the way, when you take some iPad or iPhone and everything else, and you do not search for things, you just keep receiving, that is not very good for your brain. Your brain was created to search, to look, to grasp, to keep, and to process what you collect. So don't just be like a machine. Read your Bible. not only on the Sabbath. You know, that is a bread that you should eat every day. Amen. It's good to be fed every day. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Remember that. Now, the next point that I would like to go, number four, enjoy the simple things in life. Sometimes we complicate life too much to the point that we become victim of our own careless attitude towards things in life. Enjoy simple things. Value them. Embrace them. Apply them to your life. Great things are made of small things. Laugh often. Do you know that have you heard that, how many muscles it takes you to have a smile? I heard that it was only two major muscles that you use just to yeah, somebody says like,
16.
Yeah, but when you, okay, but you check it out to how many muscles you have to use to be angry. And you're going to be amazed. So it's very important for us, smile. Long and loud, but of course, make sure that you don't become annoying to other people also, okay? Laugh until you gasp for breath. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say to you again, rejoice. That is a commandment. We needed to learn to laugh a little bit more. Sometimes we see people, they are constantly the long face. Even when they are not angry, they look like they are angry. That is not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for your immune system. Please smile. Rejoice. That is a good recipe for a long life. Amen. Tears happen. Everyone here is going to suffer. Some of you already have suffered. You think there's more than enough. We all will. But endure it and move on with your life. Be alive while you are alive. Don't act as if you're already dead. Some people spend so much time planning for their funeral that it looks like they live in a cemetery. Live a life every day. Let the living bury you. Don't bury yourself. Yes, some people are digging their own grave. They still have 20 years to go, but they already enjoy your life. Smile. Every single day is a gift. It's precious. If you have a pain here, there, everywhere, there are a lot of parts of your body there is no pain. So don't overemphasize the one little part that has pain. Go on. The more distracted you are with something good, the less you suffer than something that is bad. No temptation. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. If you have a Bible with you, mark this in your Bible, please, and read. No temptation, and I put in parentheses what's the real meaning. In Greek, the real meaning, temptation here means affliction. Anything that the evil one projects in your life, any distraction, anything that it may bring you pain. It says, no temptation, affliction, suffering has overtaken you except what is common to what? To every human being. Man here means humans. Okay, except it's common to every human being. Every one of us here will suffer. That is, sounds like a bad news, but every one of us here spend more time happy than suffering. Suffering is moments. Happiness can be always. And it says, but God is faithful. Who is faithful? Can you trust Him?
Yes.
All the time. Say, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to resist? That's a guarantee. You can take that to the bank. It is guaranteed. God will not allow you to be tempted. He's not the one causing the temptation. Please if you have that confused theology, that I'll say better, if you have that satanic theology that believes that God is the one who is afflicting you, torturing you, so that you can become a good a servant of His, no one is here because God wants to coerce you to be a Christian. We cannot be forced to be a Christian. Being a Christian is an act of choice. And therefore, we are here because of our choice. We chose to be here, and we will be here until He comes, beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, with what? With the affliction, with the problem, He will make a way out, a way of escape. Why? That you may be able to bear it. That's a guarantee. This verse is not only, Paul was inspired here, so it was so beautiful because it says, not only God is not the one who tempts, but God is the one who supervises the tempter and says, no, my child cannot stand this. You're too much. And then God comes and compensates us. What is this verse also tells us? That nobody has an excuse to give in to Satan. No one. So when you are tempted, when you do something in your life that you regret, say this clearly, I did this on my own. It's my fault. And then God will give you the gift of a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And not only that, but we also glorify in tribulations. Why? The tribulations are sent to in our way to test our relationship with God. But you know, God says, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond. He said, knowing that tribulation produces what?
Perseverance.
Yes, my young brother, patience. Yes, as a gift. And perseverance produces character. And character brings hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, and here means our minds, by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, New King James. Now, hope shape how many circumstances?
Any.
But hope needs something in order to accomplish, in order to shape any circumstance. It needs a will. If you just make any statement, it doesn't work. The will needs to be involved. Do you notice what is the color that I put to that word will? What do you think that color stands for? God's will. That's what I'm trying to say. Remember that I put God always in this color and always capitalize. So this time I decide to capitalize the word will, and also in the same color that I use for God. It is God's will that will shape in our lives any circumstance. That's what the scripture teaches us. We have the verse. It takes a will. Yes, your will. I put here in yellow, and God's will in orange. We know that all things, how much?
All.
Work together. For what?
For good.
For good of those. And why I'm saying this? Because I don't want anybody taking a nap, okay? Nobody taking a nap here now. We know that all things, and those that are awake, say it loud so nobody falls asleep, okay? It says, we know that
all things
work together for?
For
those who love God. Why? It looks like discriminating, right? It looks like, what about those that do not love God? What happens to them? Because remember what we said before, the will. When you turn your will into God's hand, you enable Him to come into your life. Because God gave us the freedom of choice. He cannot violate what He has established, because God changes not. When God gave us the power to choose, He would not violate that. We have to say, yes, Lord, here's my will. Turn my will into your will. And that's why it's for those who love God, those that surrender their will to God, those that trust him. For those who are called according to his purpose. I mentioned to you before, when I was baptized, there was a week of prayer. And that's when we decided to be baptized. And somebody gave me a Bible. And the organist, Raimundo was his name. He wrote a Bible verse. I asked him to give me his autograph in the Bible. And he put his autograph and he put this Romans 8:28. That's the first time that I paid very close attention to this verse on the day of my baptism. Yes, God, we know that all things work together. Then everything else in my life made sense. Why my mother left, why my father left, why this, why that, all those things, it all made sense. And then I took my eyes out of my problems and I started looking towards my future. Amen. That's what this verse is intended to do. Take your eyes out of your problems. Don't become a problem yourself. Surrender yourself with what is good. Surrender yourself with what is good. What happens when you have only good things around you? You have to be good. Because if you're bad, you're not going to be attracted to something that is good. But if you're good and you surrender yourself with good, that is a wall. That is protection. Do you know what happens to people when they said, hey, let's hang out. And you choose a person who you have no idea with their criminal background. You don't know if they have a weapon. If you don't know if they have a previous incidents with the law. You have no thing. You're just having some fun. And then you walk in. Then it's a little dark. It's already past 10 o'clock. And then there is this nice car parked on the street there. It says, well, let's throw out a little rock to the car. Just for fun. And pretty soon, you get involved and you start behaving exactly like those that you are friends with. Because there is a pressure. You want to belong. It happened to me. Not that I threw rocks, you know. I did something else. I went to be with some young people when I was 16. And they were doing things. And why don't you do it? I said, because it's wrong. I said, you are not cool. Immediately, they told me, you don't belong here. Praise God, I was out of there. Take a cruise. Anybody here has taken a cruise? I know that Brother Steve can hear me. He is there in the kitchen preparing our lunch. And he can hear us. Have you taken a cruise before?
No.
Yes, some people here has. Okay, some people wish that they can. Yeah. Take a cruise, but this is a cruise that all of you can afford. Okay, this is a cruise. And by the way, this cruise here that I'm going to suggest to you has no virus, no contamination, no immigration. You don't have to check in with your passport. Look what it is, one. Invest into friendship, fellowship, stewardship, and of course, worship. Do you want to take a cruise?
Yes.
I'm inviting you to take a cruise. Let's go together. Friendship, fellowship. And by the way, I have a whole list, and one day I'm going to preach a sermon about the seven journeys. And you already got some of them over there, okay? Make it your aim to do what is right. Make it your goal. Young people, we have a few young people here. Make a commitment and don't let anybody deviate you from it. I am committed to do what is right at all costs. I am committed to do good at all costs. Not because I want to be better than anybody else, but because I don't want to be worse than anybody else either. I want to do what is best. Always make your aim to do what is right, not what is evil. so that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty really will be with you, as you claim He is. What a powerful words, right? I like this version. This is a Good News translation, okay? Good News translation. That's Amos chapter 5, verse 14. I searched more than 10 different versions, and I chose this one here because this one starts and ends the way I like, because I thought this is the way I think some young people would like to hear. So, young ones, make it your aim to do what is right. Those of you that have gray hair, make your aim to do what is right. Remember, we are not counting days today, are we? So, everyone, make sure that you embrace, do what is right at all cost. That will define if you are a kingdom citizen or not. Cherish your health. Isn't it sad that we think about our health only when it goes bad? How many of you say, Lord, I'm so happy that I got up from bed? Yes. Lord, I'm so happy that I was able to walk all the way to the kitchen and come back without having to have a break. Nothing broke. Cherish your health. Cherish what you have, because the best way for you to keep what you have is when you are preoccupied with what you have, not preoccupied with what you don't have. Sometimes we invest too much energy to illusion instead of dealing with the reality. When you deal with reality, you're healthy mentally speaking. But when you only deal with illusion, if every single day you are in the moon, you should apply to be an astronaut. You can get paid for that, but don't be a lunatic. Don't be always think about things that you cannot change. Waste so much time. You're burning time that is not going to come back. When you invest time in something that is not worth it, you are just burning time. If it is unstable, improve it. Invest, take time. If it is good, preserve it. Somebody asked me one time, Pastor, is it sin to eat pork?
Yes.
Another person asked me, oh, this is going to get me in trouble. This is not going to be popular. Is it sin to eat chocolate? It is sin to drink caffeine. And the list goes on. I think you probably know the answer of those questions, right? Is it sin to eat shrimp?
Yes.
Or the cucaracha of the sea they call a lobster? Is it sin to eat rats, cats, dogs? I'm not talking about hot dog. People don't realize that sometimes the principle that governs all those things is, am I killing myself or am I taking care of the gift that the Lord has entrusted me? When you're careless with this gift, you're telling God, I am not worthy of it. So invest on your time. If you can improve it, seek help. Seek help. Dear friend, I am praying that all is well with you. And I pray for you, church family, every single day. I wish you well, health-wise and spiritual-wise, because look what it says. Dear friend, I am praying that all is well with you and that you enjoy good health. But what is good health if you are not spiritually healthy as well? Right? In the same way, that you prosper spiritually. This is the Contemporary English Bible. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. We are almost there. Don't take guilt trips. Some people are buy tickets and always look for a guilt place to go. They invest a lot of money because they want to be where guilt is. Take a trip to the mall. And be careful, because this day and age is very, don't go there when all these little kids, I mean not kids, these criminals, they want to say, oh, they told me 800, I can steal 800. So when things are getting messed, get out of there. But if you go to a trip to a mall, even to a next county, to the beach, to a foreign country, but not to where guilt is. That is a place that you should avoid at all cost. Don't be so controlled by a guilt complex. I will maintain my innocence without wavering. My conscience is clear for as long as I live. Job 27, verse 6, New Living Translation. Do you know, sometimes, have you ever heard somebody on television that makes commercial for a pillow? You know, I forgot they call it the Wonder Pillow, the Pillow Man. Yeah, he got himself in trouble a little bit, so that he's not too much in many channels, but he made a fortune selling pillows. I don't know how comfortable you feel with your pillow, but I'd like to give a suggestion for you. There is no pillow more comfortable, more enjoyable than a clear conscience. It is the best pillow that you can, you don't need to buy, you just can say, Lord, by your grace, give me this pillow, and you will sleep beautifully. You rest beautifully. Clear conscience. Keep on praying for us. We are sure we have a clear conscience because we want to do the right thing at all times. This is Good News Translation, Hebrews 13, 18. I'm going to read this again. Keep on praying for us. We are sure we have a clear conscience because we want to do the right thing at all times. Tell the people that you love them. How many times you tell a church member, we missed you? Or you took the time, says, today I'm going to invest a little bit on my family. I'm going to call someone that I didn't see in church. I ask this many times. Look beside you, there is an empty place beside you. Do you know that somebody could have been there? You just need to take a little time and make a phone call. Let people know that they are missed. It says, tell the people that you love them at every opportunity. Anybody here knows what the word opportunity really means? We preach a sermon here about the word opportunity. Literally, you see the word port there? It says there's op, and then port, and then unit. Port means a door. Opportunity means an open door for you to become one with. It says, tell the people that you love them at every opportunity. Tell them. I have seen people sometimes, sometimes we have a funeral service that we have to go to the cemetery, and sometimes we find people over there sitting by a gravesite, and we can see that they are talking. And some people, of course, believe that when they talk, the dead listen to them. But some people are trying to talk to somebody who cannot hear. Talk to those that you love when they can hear you, so they can smile back to you. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? We do not know. Your life is like a morning fog or mist. It is here for a little while and then gone. James chapter 4, verse 14, New Living Translation. And always remember this, brothers and sisters. Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. That's what really counts. Share your days. Count them, but share them because they are more worthy. Share your dreams, not your nightmares. Your faith, not your opinion. There is a verse in the Bible that I like very much in Isaiah. It says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. This is Isaiah 40, verse 31, New Living Translation. And let me read the second part of it. The second part says, they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I don't know how many of you have heard of this individual before. Anybody? Okay, some have. Okay? He is a very powerful salesperson, and he has quite a few very nice little quotes. He said this, quit counting time and start making time count. I thought this was a good statement to put together all the thoughts that we have for this. And I put his picture there just for you to realize who he is. And look, he also says it's very important for you to invest in a life that is positive. Have a positive attitude. Have a discipline, he says. Have a discipline. Very valuable thing. Honor God with all your heart, strength, and possessions all the days of your life. Invest every day in a Christ-centered life with divine discipline and a strong biblical values. May the Lord bless you, teach you the wisdom to count your days. Invest in time, because at the end, time is all that matters. Because time is existence. Existence cannot be possible with God's presence. I hope that you sense His presence, and I hope you're grateful for the blessing to be among the living. Amen. Enjoy your life. Moment by moment, let's get up and sing together.